Excellent. So far what I learned from John was that I am part of an array of weird speakers, so that's good. And I learned the next program is going to be much better, so that's also pretty good. Those are two good things. I endorse both of those statements. So what happened was, I'm not even sure how this, it's his fault. So Lisa, a couple years ago, I was asked to give a talk about why system administration is dead and why we should stop pining for it and move on in life and how much better things will be when we do that. And I was like, yeah, but that's that conference with the League of Professional Systems Administrators. Like, that's, I'm tall, but I don't want to get beat up by sysadmins. Like, when they cluster, they're violent, right? So, but it went fine. I gave a long rant, and so this is going to be really fast for the first part. So it is a skim through that stuff for non-native English speakers or for people who just can't understand my accent. That's fine. There's some stuff in the slides. You can play the video at like 0.8 later. It'll be fine. And then we'll get to the end part. And in the end part, I actually want to spend a little bit of time trying to figure out, like, are we there yet? Did we get to something that's after operations? And many of us, you know, certainly people at Google, people at Facebook, people at Twitter, people who have big infrastructure and big teams of SREs, like, we have some stuff that's past operations. We have terrible software too. Like, everything's not fixed, but we have some stuff that's after operations. But I want to talk about that. So, this was sort of a, you know, system administration is dead, and we should stop pining for it. I gave this talk. Let's stop doing the machines work for them. A bunch of people have said this, and I can't even find the origin of it, but let's stop feeding the machine with human blood. Like, to the extent to which we are wasting our precious creative energies, our souls, on doing rote crap, let's just stop doing that. Like, let's make it all work right. So that was what I said, and people at Lisa were, a lot of people were pretty cranky about that. So that's fine. So this is what I want to talk about at the end, and we'll skim to this. And I'm going to apologize in advance. Like, you guys, so how many people think the term cloud is a terrible, terrible term, and it just doesn't mean any? Yeah. So I'm really sorry about that, because that's what I think too, and I feel bad, but I don't know what else to call it. How many people have used the cloud debut plugin? Anybody use the cloud debut plugin? Okay, so for you guys, a piece of advice. The Cloud Debut plugin, it inspects your DOM, and it finds instances of cloud and replaces it with but in the DOM, and then it shows it to you. And that sounds great, because it says things like, IBM has deployed a new 17 petabyte but. And it's really great. But let me remind you, there are certain web pages that are actually, because JavaScript is a fancy, terrible thing, online document editing systems. And I don't know if you have thought about where the text of the document is, but it's in the DOM. So those systems that have versioning with rollback, those are good systems. So I just want to, personal experience. So I'm going to talk about cloud, and it's going to be cloud, and I'm going to say cloud, but I think we mostly know what we mean by that. And it is our new platform. Like, it is our hope for collectively having something that's not terrible that we can work on together. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. Some of the problems in cloud are totally solved and deployed. Some of them, there are good solutions. There are too many good solutions. They're half-assed deployed, or they're broken in deployment, or we don't agree upon them yet. And so there's some in the middle. And then there's some just like, there's a bunch of stuff we still need. So here's some context. Yep, I work on a bunch of stuff in Pittsburgh. Like many people who are old people, I started in the early days of the internet in an ISP. Many people who are old here did that. For those who aren't old enough to have done that, you should find some place that's like firing up ISP somewhere and go work for one, because it's a ton of fun. I did this stuff back in the day, and many people here did too, but I don't want to redo it, and I don't want to pretend that just because, like, I was young and dumb and it was fun to learn, that that's the way we should still do things. So that's the context. I really don't know anything about cloud, really. Like, I read some web pages before I put the talk together, so that part's pretty good. But there's plenty of people here who know much, much more about this than me. So assume that this is a vaguely interested sort of bystander trying to say some things about cloud rather than some, like, market expert / technology expert who's given deep, deep study to the issue. And again, I'm so sorry about saying the word cloud. Cloud computing, that's a good, There's cloud computing. And one of the other things you'll see is, this is a cloud bunny. Some of the content in the talk is purely gratuitous, because I'm assuming somewhere between 40 and 75% of the people here don't care about what I'm saying. But there's a bunny, is what I'm saying. And then, you know, bunnies, they aren't just cute like everyone supposes. You know, mandatory Buffy reference. So, site reliability engineering, this is not for you guys, but I put it in here for people finding these presentations later. Sort of, what is SRE, blah, 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 right? So the history of this, many people know the history of this. Ben Trainer summarized it nicely. It's what you get when software engineers are told to run production and they don't want to because it's boring and it's rote and it's repetitive and it's really frustrating, and so they automate it. And this is what we've got to, and we've got a long way to go, but this is sort of how we got here. It's also true because Google was super cheap, and they looked at this stuff and said, things that scale with people are going to be terrible. We should not do that, right? And so this made a lot of people cranky in the early days. I remember from outside of Google thinking, like, why don't they have a NOC? Everybody's got a NOC. Where's the NOC? Like, they got to have a room full of people paid by the hour staring at screens. That's just how we do things. And Google was like, yeah, we're not going to do that. I'm like, but you got a big network. You have to do that. They said, we're not going to do that. We're just going to make the computers do that. That's a great idea. Wow. Yeah, so we did a bunch of that. So you guys know about this. The basics of what we do, you know, cross-functional, it is software, it is systems engineering. So the key thing I want to remind people that I think we mean by SRE includes this notion of ethic. It includes this notion of a production ethic. So there is an aspect to what we do that is about the skills, for sure. There's an aspect of what we do which is about the approach, but there's also an aspect of what we do which is about the professionalism and responsibility. So we are a collection of people who is not satisfied with, I turned it off and on and now it works, right? The world is full of that, and that does, you know, the 787s have to be rebooted every, right? Like, this is a thing, right? So, but we are the collection of people who says, yeah, why is there an integer overflow in there? Like, how did that happen, and what do we do to fix the software, and fix it even if it's not within our direct responsibility? Mentioning Adrian Kokroff's NoOps, guy from Netflix said, you know, they're moving past operations, said this, you know, a couple years ago, and people gave him endless raft loads of crap. Like, oh, how can you say this? I was like, that sounds right. Like, let's just do that. So there's prior art on this. Other people want to do the same kind of stuff we want to do. There's a whole section here. This is a whole section. I'm just going to skim through this. I wanted to take it out, but I'm leaving it in for completeness for the people who are not here. There is a meme in our industry that says operations research is awesome and you should pay a ton of attention to it because it's really relevant for what you do. And I want to say, no, it's really bad, and it's a bad way of thinking about what we do, and it's not relevant, and I wish people would stop. In particular, right, people know how many people did how many people got sucked into this meme and liked it a lot and like spent some time thinking about it for us? All right, that's awesome. Then I'm just going to skip through this. Some people think it's really important. There's a book about it. The main point I want to get across is we don't have those same kinds of constraints. Operations research is about optimizing fixed constraints problems like a factory or like a supply chain for an army, and software just doesn't work that way. It does have constraints, but people who want to pretend that software is a black box are definitely not going to get very far in life, right? And this is part of why we're here is like, you know, some of us are people who are really excellent software engineers, and some of us are people who are really primarily systems engineers, but all of us can and want to read code and want to understand, like, what's inside that black box and fix it when we need to. And so treating the software as if it's a black box is a desperately terrible idea. So software organizations should get rid of operations, yes. So let's talk about what's left. So I spent some time at that on Lisa, and I want to remind people. So, you know, there's a structure to an argument of, like, we should stop doing X. And, like, any of you have kids, you're like, don't do that. Like, that never works. Don't do that. Like, don't do that. Like, you know, you distract them with some other thing, right? You're like, do this instead. Stop hitting your sister. Stop hitting your sister. Here, read a book, right? Here, read a book works way better than stop hitting your sister, even though, you know. So what I want to argue is there's a bunch of things we do we who work at places with some infrastructure that we try to keep running, whether that's, you know, two servers and a medium-sized collection of services, or, you know, 100,000 servers and a larger collection of services. These are actually, for people who are doing this in a reasonable way, these are actually pretty congruent problems. So what are we going to keep, right? I think there's some stuff that comes from an operations ethic that we want to keep, that's about taking privacy seriously, taking individual users seriously, taking responsibility for troubleshooting problems all the way through the stack. There's a constructive pessimism that I think we have, sort of saying like, yes. Like, so how many people think all software is pretty terrible? Yeah, so how many people work with people who would be horrified to see this room full of hands? Like, like it's really interesting, like, because I say that. So this is actually when I'm recruiting people and I talk to them, that's actually one of my like really fast litmus tests is if I say to them, yeah, don't you think all software is terrible? It's super bimodal. Some people are like, oh my God, yes. And other people are like, what? I mean, now I wrote some good stuff the other day. I'm like, no, you didn't. You didn't. You didn't. I don't even know what's wrong with it because I don't even know what you wrote, but I know you didn't. And so like we're a group of people, that's what I mean by constructive pessimism or constructive cynicism. The cynicism part is it's all terrible. But the constructive part is we're not saying it can't be fixed or it can't be bad. I mean, it'll still be terrible once we fix it. It's just terrible in a different way, right? So this idea like we can look at software and we can think about the way pieces of software and software infrastructure fits together and we can say like, oh, we can totally make this part somewhat less terrible before it breaks tomorrow. That's what we do, right? So that's really good. So yeah, it's fine. This is all fine. Like you'll go read this later if you care to. So there's a likely future of production where we're dividing up basically platforms are, you know, the platforms that we work on, there's going to be people who build those platforms who are hyper-specialized. There's going to be people who deploy those platforms who probably are eventually robots. And there's going to be people who write software that runs on those platforms, and that's going to be people like us. Infrastructure software engineering is going to exist. SRE is going to be the glue between the platforms, infrastructure software, and the applications. So, fine. There's a set of babies in bathwater. I think this is a long and interesting list, which probably means it's not that interesting because you guys' eyes are glazing over. So it's fine. There's a bunch of things I want to keep about where a tradition of taking operations seriously comes from and a bunch of things I want to get rid of. So I definitely want to get rid of repeatable work, you know, anything automatable, anything one-off. Like if you things that teams that I've worked on do, like if you find yourself logging into a machine, everything's gone horribly wrong and you really should be writing the postmortem while you're doing this because something's bad, right? So there's a whole set of manual things that many of us still, like those are still like, if this goes wrong and if this goes wrong and if this goes wrong, then I'm like, okay, so as long as we still have to keep those manual steps around for when all of this stuff breaks, we're not there yet, but we're getting there. Okay. So to make progress, I think we need to agree upon and deploy stable APIs for distributed computing, for platform infrastructure, for cloud. We're not quite there yet. There's things we agree on and things we don't yet. We're going to, for some time, continue to innovate on top of some basic stuff because we don't agree yet. We're not sure what we want yet, and we'll talk about that for a second. And then we need to continue to build this culture and the set of practices around application production engineering. So, like, what is it? How is it we want to do the work on top of that? So, deployed solutions. So this is the part I want to think about. So let's look at what we have that's deployed that we're all pretty happy with for a second, right? So they need to be, to count as it's out there, you can rely on it, it works. I think it needs to be deployed, should probably work. Those are good. It should be tested. We should all agree that this is pretty much the thing that we want. It should be stable, and the APIs to it should be stable. So if you're rocking some SOAP API and you're making people use it, that's probably not good, right? Like, we probably need to not do that. And they need to be available to the general public. So this is cloud, right? So what we have here is essentially VMs on Linux. That's the thing we've agreed to. VMs on Linux, they speak IPv4, and that's the public cloud, that's the platform we've all agreed to, right? Like, everything beyond VMs on Linux with IPv4 is something we're still arguing about, that we haven't converged on. So think about that for a second. Like VMs on Linux with IPv4. That's what we got to. Now, let me point out. So that's dramatically less awful than it was 10 years ago, right? So they spin up, they spin down. That's good. You can get them from multiple providers. That's pretty good. They more or less can talk to each other, and your code more or less runs on them, and you can build images for them, and you can push them around, and they can talk to each other, and sometimes they can talk to your users. Okay, so that's not terrible, but that's almost it. Now, we've agreed we're going to do object storage, but we haven't yet really agreed how. And in particular, we don't have stable APIs for object storage or any agreed upon performance constraints for it yet. So we've got object storage. We've all agreed we want some object storage, but that's as far as we've got. I think we have load balancing traffic management, and I think we have CDN for small objects. Like, so I think if you were to talk to everyone in this room, the only thing we would all agree on is basically that tiny set of pretty useful things. So you can't actually do much with that, but you can do a little bit with that, and you can make a bunch of extra choices on top of that, but it's in those extra choices that the complexity and the interesting part lies. So it's tough. VMs are not the right level of abstraction, so we're not there yet. All right, so here's the stuff that we all know, or here's stuff I claim, and I'm interested in this. I'm talking fast because I want to leave us a few minutes for questions or comments. Here's stuff that I think we all know we want and need, but we don't agree on exactly what the character of that is. So VMs. Like, how many people think that, like, VMs was really what we wanted, and we should just, that's a good, clean API, we should just have VMs and we're done? Yeah, so VMs are not so great. Right, VMs are super heavyweight, they're kind of slow. They're a fantastic insulation against vendor lock-in, right? Your VM works here, your VM works there. But as soon as you build anything, you've already locked yourself into a single cloud platform for reasons that we're gonna get to, the lack of standardization of all the other stuff. So VMs are pretty bad. So Google and a bunch of other people have been pushing this other model that people seem not to love and are not ready for, which is sort of jobs and tasks. We're like, what about jobs and tasks, right? And I think we're all gonna settle on something that looks like containers with something that looks like a system for managing containers, which is super less terrible than VMs, right? Containers are fantastically less awful than VMs. It's not the level of granularity that something like job task split gives you, but it's probably okay, and we can probably live with that for the next 10 years. So if we can get everybody on some sort of containers with some sort of container management system, and we will end up with some kind of container management system, whether it's, you know, something like Kubernetes or, you know, Amazon's container management system, Docker's container management system. But again, as soon as we start talking anything past, like, the most basic thing, containers, we're like, oh yeah, we don't even agree on how to turn on a container, but we're gonna have containers, right? So this is early, early days for us. And by the way, I'm putting most of this at your feet. Like, this is us collectively. We here have not yet solved this problem because we don't agree yet. So it would be useful for us if people who come to gatherings like this spend a little time trying to figure out what other people are doing and how to find forums for converging on this stuff, because the cost of having lack of agreement on these basics is really, really high. All right, so, all right, IO storage. Ah, this is a mess, right? Like, all we know, so here's what we don't know. We don't know what APIs we want. People are like, POSIX, that's a good, simple API. And people are like, you can't seek in a block. This doesn't, like, how are you gonna tail a block in a bucket? Like objects, like, none of this. So we're not going to have POSIX as an API, but we're not going to agree upon the block storage APIs that various other people have. We also don't have agreed upon requirements. So people who deploy VMs with local disk get customers who expect local disk style performance. People who deploy VMs or containers with access to disk across InfiniBand or on iSCSI get a totally different set of performance, and it all looks like local disk, but it doesn't actually meet all of our needs. So it'd be useful if we can agree upon what we want from storage, and I don't think we do. Dynamic relocation of storage, does storage magically follow an instance or not? Do instances move around a lot? So many things we want, and we don't even know what we want, each of us knows what we want, but we haven't decided what is reasonable to collectively demand from our platform. So we should get that. Ah, but this part, man, semi-structured storage. This is structured storage. Like, how many of you use at least two of the things I've listed up there, right? Yeah, like right there, right? That's fantastic, right? So you can't, like, even within a particular project, you'll see people using multiple semi-structured storage systems for different purposes. So I contend, like, oh, this is being recorded. I was going to say, don't quote me on this. But so this is the time-wasting playground of the SRE right now. Like, this is where you guys are wasting your time because it's fun. So back, you know, 20 years ago, we were like, oh, I'm gonna upgrade AIX. I'm gonna play with FreeBSD because that looks really cool. And we were wasting our time, but it was fun. Like, this is where SREs today waste their time, right? We're gonna play with the next structured storage system. And it's fine. Like, I got no problem with it. It is fine. It is fun. We're playing with this stuff because we haven't decided what we want, and so much of it doesn't work that well, right? So when you, when people who are serious start posting sort of, I deployed that and then I ran a distributed test suite and it all fell apart. How are people using this thing in production? I'm like, oh, it locks up and then they reboot it, right? So, so there's a lot of the stuff that the software quality is bad. There's a lot of the stuff that simply doesn't do that is not intended to do what people think it does, and so is actually just a bad fit. And there's more of it. We haven't decided the small set of things we need out of structured storage. So, and we haven't standardized APIs even a tiny little bit. So lots of fun there. Ah, and then, like, this is the pie in the sky, automated pony, right? So we want build on commit, we want automated testing, we want push on green, or I do anyway. I want automated canarying with automated rollback when the canaries don't work, and I want the canaries to be smart about knowing, like, whether the thing that looks okay today, the same data would be incorrect tomorrow because something else changed, and we want automated backups and automated partial restores of things that clearly didn't get dealt with correctly and got deleted in production, right? There's so many things we want from automated everything, right? And we're not even close. This is just like, we're not even close to most of this. So there are systems that do push on green, but most of the test harnesses are, underpowered or insufficiently expressive to make us feel super comfortable with them. There are no great publicly deployed automated canarying systems, right? So, like, you build your own, and usually you build two or three of them, and then, you know, are you canarying one task per job set or one container per collection of containers? Are you canarying, like, one percentage of traffic to all the things? And, like, you, within services I've worked on, the answer is, yeah, those are the ways we should canary. Like, we should do all those things. Like, great. So we're going to want that stuff. There's this huge opportunity that is not there yet, which is a much, much tighter connection between development and production. So we now have decided we like Git. Like, collectively, we've decided we love Git. And that's actually really, really useful because we can say, like, okay, so we like Git, and maybe we want some different UIs on Git, but we're all going to really love Git. Okay, so then if I can do tight connection between change sets and production events observed, then I can do introspection on what you just broke and why, right? And that's kind of the holy grail of, you get the automated, you know, automated test distribution, automated push on green with automated canarying and rollback. If you tie that into your development engineering system, then you tell, you know, whoever just made the change, hey, dumbass, you broke production, but only for a few queries, and it's because of this function right here. This is what broke production, and here's why, and here's the output of that, and I left a container running that's broken so you could go take a look at that, right? So that's, as far as I know, nobody's got anything close to that, but that, we need to head to that. Like, we need to head to that in a widely agreed upon standards-based fashion that's gonna have something useful like that everywhere. So magical connection between development and production. And then there's monitoring and notification. The stuff, you know, how many people spend more than 25% of your time on monitoring in some aspect? Yeah, so that's a solid third of the room, right? And that should make you cry a little bit. It makes me cry a little bit. And it's really, really important. And I'm not saying, like, it is important, and it's really important to have specialists for monitoring now. But what we need to get to is this notion that, like, we have a service, and the service declares its components and its intent and something about how it fits together. And when you have that service, you should be able to introspect that service and say, like, hey, this is the kind of monitoring a service like this needs, and this is what the dashboard should look like, and this is the alerting. And you should be mostly done. You should say, like, yeah, I have a web service. It's got two structured storage backends. It's got this kind of performance constraints. It's got this one service that has a, you know, high 99th percentile latency tail. And so as a result, we need to worry about these kind of queries. It's got a mixer kind of pattern over here with fan in, fan out, and it needs to reissue queries, and we need to know when those are failing. It deals with transactions, and the transactions commit or they don't commit, right? This is, and again, remember, we're in the pie in the sky. Nobody has this that I know. By the way, the entire pie in the sky section is a challenge to all of you. Like, could you just, like, if somebody comes up and you're like, that pie in the sky stuff, yeah, we got that. That'd be great. That'd be great if somebody could do that. I think second-party notifications, like the idea that your use of my service is broken and I have a structured way of telling you that, nobody does that, and that would be amazing. Write stuff that makes sense. Is everybody asleep? How many people are asleep? No, I'm just kidding. So things are changing quickly. They're not changing quickly enough, and that's at least partially our fault. We need to get our act together. Like, we are collectively, finally, inventing a place where SREs can do proper engineering on production systems even when we leave the companies that we come from, which is great. Like, I think for a long time, people at places with really big infrastructure like Amazon or like Google or like Twitter or like Facebook were like, yeah, if I leave here, I'm gonna get stuck, like, you know, compiling things on my workstation and racking and stacking servers and remembering how to configure switches, and I just don't want to have to do that anymore, right? And I think we're past that. Like, we're at the point where if you have a startup, the startup's going to launch all of its infrastructure on something people call cloud, and it will upset you that people call it cloud, but you'll be thrilled to not have to do that stuff. So that part's good, but we're not even close to there yet. So we need to think about what we want. We need to chip away at everything between VMs on Linux and all the stuff we wish we had, and we need to converge on that stuff. So you have to end with a cute kitten. And while you're, I should sneak out while the kitten's here. No, you guys don't. I think there's a couple minutes for questions because I talked fast. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Were you just kidding about that, or is there actually a microphone in the damn?
No, we're still
not. It's not working yet?
Oh, wait,
there we go. Okay, cool. Okay. Who has a question?
Are you? Okay.
Oh, my God.
That was a little unexpected because, honestly, like, no offense to either of you, in a room full of geeks, when somebody throws something, it doesn't go well. So that was pretty good. That was nice on both. Yes.
Yeah, so the way I tend to think of the problem is I look at it in terms of operating system. But your suggestion is that we build an entirely new operating system, because an operating system is basically the set of tools that help us manage a computer. That's like the definition.
Yes.
And if you look at Unix, for example, it's just basically a kernel and a large set of tools. And our operating systems have been deprecated for over a decade now. They were designed in an age where we didn't have a lot of memory. We only had one server, and it was managed manually. So all of our interfaces are for humans. And if you look at tools like Chef and Puppet, for example, what they do is basically expect. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Not to mention that all of the assumptions underlying the APIs of those operating systems are geared toward that specific use case, which is a server that runs a lot of different tasks and which is not distributed. And, you know, if you mentioned file systems, for example, the reason the POSIX API is so bad for us now is it makes assumptions that
Absolutely.
You only have one server. So we need to redesign the entire operating system. The problem is, of course, that if you look at, like, normal people who don't have a lot of resources, they have to use Linux distributions. And the state of Linux distributions right now is that by default you get a print server you can't actually use, and a cellular modem manager that you can't actually use, but you don't get a metrics collector by default.
Yes.
It's so horribly broken. So how do we redesign an operating system that's distributed by default, that encompasses a lot of computers and stuff, that deals with things that are not even a computer, things like network, And how do we do this in a sane way and still be able to use our computers in between?
Yep. So yeah, I think that's the right metaphor. And I think thinking about operating systems helps. So like, we all agreed on a set of, so how many people think we should really think about whether we want processes or not? Right? Like, we're like, really? You don't want any processes?
No, I think something, we need something a little bit more expansive.
Okay. So we have process groups. Sorry, that was me. We have threads, processes share a context of execution. So there's a few things where like, we're gonna have preemption, we're gonna have memory protection, we're gonna have processes, right? Like there are a set of things we agreed upon, but there's a set of assumptions that we need to get past. I think the distributed operating system is a nice metaphor, but what's interesting is, so the last question, the last part of your question, I think is the interesting question. How do we get there while using it? Like, how do we get there without it being broken in the middle? Like, there's not gonna be some moonshot leapfrog from now to like the perfect distributed operating system that we deploy in 3.5 years and are happy with. The good news is it's all broken and you guys are making it work anyway, right? Like, it's all pretty terrible. And yet, like, I go to the face page and there's people there from high school who say things that I don't understand, right? Like, that's all there, right? And the web pages load and I go to Google and there's my mail and there I can go to Flickr and get pictures of cats. This is pretty fantastic. So on top of the broken thing that we haven't converged on, it currently works. So what we need to do is build consensus on requirements and move up the tiny stack that we've agreed upon. That's what I think. So, but I think it's gonna take a very, very long time. Okay. Yep,
thank you very much.
Cheers, thanks everyone.